from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I want to follow up on the conversation that I had with Jeff Snyder from Locked On Dodgers over the past couple of days. Specifically, Jeff made some points about Alex Dickerson that I want to elaborate on. He talked about the Giants pitching, which I want to talk about more, and he talked about the difference that he thinks a manager can make when we talked about Gabe Kapler. So if Jeff and I had unlimited time to talk, we would have gone into more detail at the time, but we wanted to cover a wider range of topics. But I just thought today would be a good opportunity to give kind of my response to some of the things he said that I didn't necessarily agree with 100%. So when we were talking about Farhan Zaidi coming over to the Giants from the Dodgers, Jeff was saying that he wasn't sure in year one if he saw any of the out-of-nowhere breakouts like the Dodgers have enjoyed over the seasons, for example, from Max Muncy. And then we talked about how Mike Yastrzemski was probably the guy who represented that to the largest degree. But then I used Alex Dickerson as an example, and I think only people who follow the Giants closely realize just how good he was for that stretch of time when he was so good. And then obviously he went down with his injuries and wasn't the same afterwards. But Jeff kind of said he believes Alex Dickerson is just going to be Alex Dickerson, and he would be surprised if he's even a regular player for the Giants. So that obviously doesn't totally go hand in hand with what we know the plan is for the Giants. I mean, he, assuming baseball is going to be played at some point, was projected to be the like everyday starter in left field against right-handed pitching. So I guess the point that I want to make that I didn't make at the time is that Alex Dickerson just being Alex Dickerson is actually quite good against right-handed pitching. And the Dodgers have a lot of familiarity with this type of player. I have called Dickerson a poor man's Jock Peterson, and that's not a perfect comparison, but if you look at what has Alex Dickerson done in his career against right-handed pitching, so this is just literally Alex Dickerson being Alex Dickerson. We're talking about 400 plate appearances, which is not a ton, but it's not tiny either, where he's hit 270 with a 338 on base and 489 slugging. That's a 118 weighted runs created plus, meaning the production's about 20% above league average production. But if we look at his career numbers against lefties, he's barely batted at all against them. He's only had 90 career plate appearances against left-handed pitching, and the results haven't been nearly as good. And if we just look at what did he do with the Giants last season, overall, it was just 171 plate appearances, but he hit 290 with a 351 on base and 529 slugging. That production is about 30% better than the league average. And specifically against right-handed pitching with the Giants, his production was about 35% above league average production. So I would read more into the career numbers, and it is kind of spread out. You know, the thing about Dickerson being Dickerson to me is more likely that he's going to deal with injuries and not play enough. And maybe that's the point that Jeff was trying to make. And I think that's a totally valid argument. We may be seeing this a little too optimistically about Dickerson because he's been hurt year after year. But, you know, he claimed to be healthy. He was playing regularly in spring training. So I think in a platoon, he was looking to be a key kind of left-handed bat in the lineup. And it does just kind of emphasize that, you know, what did the Giants give up for Dickerson? Franklin Van Gerp, a minor league reliever. And Dickerson was like their team MVP for a whole month when they were the best team in baseball. So, of course, Jeff and I agreed about Mike Yastrzemski and how he kind of did match the Max Muncy mold, and that he was in his late 20s and other teams had given up on him. And then he comes over to a new team and kind of has a breakout performance. So Donovan Solano, we talked about too, and he's another guy. I know the average on balls in play was elevated, but just watching Solano play, I mean, he was just so, so consistent throughout the entire season. And in spring training, he was just looking the exact same way. So I just have faith enough in Farhan Zaidi that I just feel like someone like Solano, even though obviously that average on balls in play is not sustainable, that's totally correct, I still feel like there's that Donovan Solano was going to find a way to be a productive player for the Giants in 2020. So just to introduce this next point that I wanted to talk about more, Jeff and I talked about Gabe Kapler coming over to the Giants after he spent many years as the Dodgers farm director and then was a finalist for their managerial opening that ultimately went to Dave Roberts. So Jeff correctly mentioned that Kapler had some well-publicized blunders in Philadelphia. That stuff in Philadelphia, it gets like everybody's kind of instant reaction to Gabe Kapler is those blunders. But it's easy to forget maybe that those occurred in like the first few weeks of year one on the job. And so maybe people also don't remember that he was there for 2 years and there was really nothing like that that happened in year two. And by all accounts, everybody said, including the GM and the players and other people around the game, said that he improved dramatically from a tactical perspective, A, in the later months of year one, and B, especially in year two. And actually, there's evidence to suggest that managers in their second go-around are more successful. And Farhan Zaidi said that explicitly. So, you know, everybody wants to point out that Kapler made those big mistakes in Philadelphia, like calling to a reliever who wasn't yet loose and pulling a pitcher when he was cruising, when everybody even in the dugout thought that he should have kept the starting pitcher in. Just a couple of things like that that occurred very early on in year one of his tenure there. I don't think we can say that he should be forever judged based on some early mistakes in the beginning of his job. I think we all can attest that when you start a new job, it can be difficult in the beginning and then you get the hang of it. So anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, I want to talk more about Kapler and the coaching staff and their potential impact on the Giants. And I also want to talk about that answer and that question and answer Jeff and I discussed about the Giants starting pitching. So that's all coming up next. But first, do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com, /MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com, /MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. All right, here in the second half of the show, I just want to follow up a little bit more on the conversation we had about Kapler and the coaching staff and also touch upon Giants pitching. So the other thing about Kapler, that just to wrap up, because I see this said all the time, that he was like a huge failure and disappointment in Philadelphia. But, you know, they were like close to a 500 team last year, despite losing pretty much their entire bullpen. And can you really blame the entirety of a team's struggles on the manager? Like, here we are in San Francisco anointing Bochy, this heroic, infallible manager, yet the Giants have been terrible for the last several seasons, but nobody around here seems to want to blame Bochy, and that's understandable. And I get it, the two teams are a little bit different, but Philadelphia, it's not like you would say that they were clearly a top 5-10 team in all of baseball. Yes, they went out and signed Bryce Harper, but their pitching was very suspect entering the season. And they lost like all of their bullpen, and their bullpen was really bad. And so I mean, again, talking to people who were close to that Philadelphia team say it had a lot less to do with Kapler and a lot more to do with the pitching just not performing well. What is the manager supposed to do when his pitchers just aren't pitching well? So anyway, just the idea that we can blame Kapler for the entire team's, quote, disappointment, even though they were like a 500 team, is a little bit misguided to me. And let's just remember also that the GM wanted to keep Kapler and said that he loved him. And a lot of the players wanted to keep Kapler as well, but the owner overruled the GM and some of the players. Anyway, the second point I wanted to make is that it came up in our discussion with Jeff that, you know, a manager's input is not really going to actually make a difference on the field, maybe one win over the course of a season. But I think it can actually be more than that, and not just from the manager's perspective. I think the development approach that the Giants are now taking with their coaching staff can have a far greater impact. And I do think that that actually applies to the Dodgers as well. If you think about players like Justin Turner and Max Muncy, who were established as not very good players, but then became really good players, what changed? Well, they were coached into becoming better players. And so if you can bring those coaching techniques into your dugout and have all of your players getting that instruction that could help them be the best players they can possibly be, I think that can add a heck of a lot more than just one win over the course of a season. And so for the Dodgers, they're kind of used to that because they've been getting that type of coaching and instruction for years, and they've been reaping in the dividends and enjoying these huge performances and hitting on all their minor leaguers who come up and turn into good players and don't flop. But other teams aren't enjoying that success. So I think it's easy to take for granted, if you're following the Dodgers, what they've been able to do from a coaching perspective. And so the Giants bringing that in with Kapler plus all the new coaches could have a lot more of an impact than just like one win over the course of a season. Potentially, it might not do anything at all, but it has the potential. So the last thing I want to address is the conversation Jeff and I had about Giants pitching, specifically Kevin Gausman. You know, Jeff wasn't clear about who would be in the Giants starting rotation after Cueto and Samardzija. And I, of course, pointed out that Smiley and Gausman were brought in to be starters and there was a competition for the fifth spot. But about Kevin Gausman, I just think that he's perpetually being underrated here as a signing by the Giants. Just a one-year, $9 million deal. And just, this isn't just me. If you look at projections, let's look at the Zips projections for Kevin Gausman. They're quite good. They have him coming in at a 3.81 earned run average with a 3.64 fielding independent pitching. And that comes out to 3 Fangraphs wins above replacement over the course of just 150 innings. So that would actually be 4 wins above replacement over 200 innings, which is really very good and significantly better than the projections for Madison Bumgarner. Now that's just Zips. Steamer, another popular projection system, has Gausman at a 4.04 ERA over 146 innings, which is 2.1 Fangraphs wins above replacement, which is 2.9 Fangraphs WAR per 200 innings. So either way you slice it, that's above average production. Now, we've been trained to kind of think that over a 4 ERA is bad, but league average last year was much higher than that. It was like 4.3 or something like that. So I don't think it's crazy at all to think that Kevin Gausman has the potential to be a well above average pitcher for the Giants. He was looking very good in spring, and I think he's being underrated kind of across the board here. For comparison, Madison Bumgarner projects to come in at just 2 WAR per 175 innings by Zips and 2.5 WAR in 200 innings by Steamer. Those are both worse than Kevin Gausman. And then, you know, we've talked a lot on this show, obviously, about Smiley when they signed him. And just the improvement he showed last year as his velocity got better as the season went on, coming off the Tommy John surgery. And his results got a lot better, and he was really strong down the stretch in Philadelphia. And if you look at the projections for him, there's a home run concern for sure, but he is also projected to have really good strikeout stuff, and I think that's the upside that we've been talking about with him. So if he can just find a way to kind of suppress homers a little bit better, then you're talking about a guy who could be a really quality pitcher. Definitely a guy who could collapse, kind of like a Drew Pomeranz type in the sense that he could be really bad at times, which is what we saw from Pomeranz, but he can also really rack up the strikeouts and be a strikeout artist at times. And maybe that would play up in the bullpen if they decided to go that route like they did with Pomeranz, which netted them a big return at the deadline. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of follow up on those three points. That is all the time we have for today. Tomorrow we're going to do our Q&A. So follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspick. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. And I'll post the prompt and we'll talk about your questions tomorrow. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for listening, and until then, we'll see you next time.